Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's Civil Rights Leaders Press Briefing on Masterpiece Cake Shop Case conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing star and one on your touch-tone phone. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by if you should need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn the conference over to Ms. Kristen Voorhees, Communications Manager.
Thank you, Rachel. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Kristen Voorhees, Communications Manager at the Leadership Conference Education Fund. Welcome and thank you for joining us for this press briefing on the civil rights implications of the Masterpiece Cake Shop case decision. The format of this call is that we'll hear from a few civil rights leaders on the broad implications of this decision, followed by a Q&A session. Now I'd like to turn it over to Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference Education Fund.
Thank you, Kristen. Welcome to our speakers and to everyone on the phone. The Leadership Conference Education Fund builds public will for federal policies that promote and protect the civil and human rights of all persons in the United States. The Education Fund's campaigns empower and mobilize advocates around the country to push for progressive change in the United States. I want to give special thanks to my colleagues from the ACLU for leading this discussion with me today and for taking on the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. I'd also like to thank our participants from Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC, the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, and the Mexican American Legal Defense and Educational Fund. So just a few days ago, the Supreme Court issued a narrow ruling. It was on Monday, in fact, in favor of Jack Phillips, a Colorado bakery owner who refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex couple because of his religious beliefs. And Masterpiece Cake Shop versus Colorado Civil Rights Commission resurfaced a question that was decided half a century ago about whether business owners in America can use their religious beliefs as a justification to discriminate. Notably, the court limited its decision in Masterpiece Cake Shop to the specifics of this case, mainly focusing on how the Colorado Civil Rights Commission treated Phillips and Phillips' claim. The court did not rule, importantly, that the Constitution grants the right to discriminate. On the contrary, the decision maintains the longstanding principle that business owners cannot deny equal access to goods and services. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 banned discrimination in public accommodations based on race, color, religion, and national origin. And a few years after the 1964 Civil Rights Act was enacted, in the 1968 case, Newman versus Piggy Park Enterprises decision, the Supreme Court upheld a challenge to the landmark legislation by rejecting a barbecue restaurant owner's claim that his religious beliefs were legitimate grounds for discrimination against African-American customers. There is no question that religious freedom is a cherished constitutional right in the United States, but religion must not translate into a license to discriminate, nor can it trample people's protections under the law. Consider the consequences had the Supreme Court actually given Phillips a sweeping victory. If a company can refuse to sell wedding cakes to a gay couple on the basis of religious convictions, the question is, can a restaurant then refuse to serve food to a divorcee or an unmarried couple with a child? Can a taxi driver deny a ride to an interracial couple? In fact, just a few days ago, a South Dakota lawmaker said businesses should be able to turn customers away based on race in the aftermath of the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision. And although he later apologized, comments like these, especially from elected officials, illustrate the importance of strong civil rights protections in public accommodations. We know that there are other instances where businesses have used religious beliefs to justify denying services to LGBTQ customers. And through much of our nation's history, the concept of sincerely held religious beliefs excuse legalized discrimination against African Americans and other communities, including at restaurants, schools, and in marriage. And those policies tore apart families, they devastated futures, and relegated communities, including immigrants and people of color, to second-class citizenship. And Piggy Park marked the beginning of our courts acknowledging and enforcing America's obligation of equality under the law when it comes to public accommodations. And 50 years later, the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision posed the same question, and the court affirmed the underlying principle that our nation's businesses should be open to all. But I think we should make no mistake about it, which is that the Monday decision makes clear that our fight for equal rights and dignity for all must continue. We know because of Justice Kennedy's own explicit words in the decision that this issue is likely to come before the United States Supreme Court again in a way that the court will actually address the constitutional question. We wish that the court had taken the step to actually explicitly affirm the provision that discrimination is not permitted in the name of religious freedom, but since it punted that question on in the Monday decision, we know it will come before the court again. And in the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision, obviously it was cake, although the decision really has nothing to do about cake. In Piggy Park, it was about barbecue. Tomorrow, it's surely going to be about something else. And the civil rights community will be there fighting, standing on the right side of history.
Thank you, Vanita. Now we will turn the call over to Rhea Tawak Omar, Senior Staff Attorney with the Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, Transgender, and HIV Project of the American Civil Liberties Union, ACLU.
Thank you so much, Kristen. As you all know, the ACLU represented David Mullins and Charlie Craig in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. Of course, Monday's decision is deeply disappointing for our clients, Dave and Charlie, as well as for Charlie's mother, Debbie, who was with them there that day and hoped to help her son select his wedding cake. Instead, she watched as her son was humiliated and broke down in tears. But let me be clear, this was not the win the bakery or the Trump administration had asked for. The court reversed the decision below based on peculiar facts in the history of the Colorado Civil Rights Commission's handling of this case. In the process, the court recognized that states can and should act to prevent the harms of discrimination in the marketplace, including when it comes to LGBT people. Remember, the bakery and the Trump administration were asking for a constitutional right to discriminate, and they claimed that the freedom of religion or the freedom of speech should give them a blank check to violate Colorado's Anti-Discrimination Act and to turn away same-sex couples. It's important to realize that argument, if accepted, would not have been limited to discrimination against LGBT people. It could have implicated all of the characteristics protected under Colorado and other state and federal laws, including race, religion, and disability. But the court didn't accept that unprecedented theory. And while it expressed concerns about the way this particular Civil Rights Commission handled this particular case, it reaffirmed that civil rights commissions across the country can continue to enforce our nation's laws against discrimination, including discrimination against people who are LGBT. All of the justices recognized the significance of anti-discrimination laws to our ability to participate freely in the marketplace, and the court referred repeatedly to the Piggy Park decision, the 1968 decision under the Civil Rights Act of 1964. As Vanita indicated, in Piggy Park, a South Carolina chain of barbecue restaurants refused to serve black customers on equal terms with whites because of the owner's religious belief that racial integration contravenes the will of God. The case reached the Supreme Court on the technical issue of attorney's fees, but the court went out of its way to include a footnote explaining that the restaurant's free exercise defense was frivolous. The fact the court recognized the historical parallels between opposition to integration in the civil rights era and discrimination against LGBT people today is something to celebrate. And while it's deeply disappointing that the court let the bakery off the hook for its discrimination against Dave and Charlie, the decision does not license any discrimination. Equality may have lost this battle, but we won the war. I'll turn it back to Kristen.
Thank you, Rhea. Now we will hear from John Yang, President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC.
Thank you very much. My name is John Yang, and I am the President and Executive Director of Asian Americans Advancing Justice, AAJC. We are a national nonprofit organization founded in 1991 to advance the civil and human rights of Asian Americans and to build and promote a fair and equitable society for all. We do this through our work in education, litigation, and public policy advocacy. To this end, we have watched this case closely because of its ramifications for the civil and human rights community, but really for everyone. Advancing Justice AAJC signed on to an amicus brief that was led by Muslim advocates because we remember the all-too-recent targeting and profiling of South Asians, Arabs, Middle Easterners, Muslims, and Africans after 9/11. We know all too well the denial of service, discrimination, and bigotry often faced by all of our groups. It is incumbent upon us all to make America live up to the ideal that no one should be discriminated against, whether by race, religion, ethnicity, national origin, or sexual orientation. As the Supreme Court noted, our differences should be respected. Facially neutral laws regulating businesses are permissible, which includes laws that prohibit places of public accommodation from discriminating on the basis of race, religion, or sexual orientation. The court is also correct that an individual's religious beliefs should be respected. But we note two things. First, religion is not a basis for discrimination. Second, Advancing Justice AJC strongly believes that all religious beliefs should be respected without priority to one, whether it be Islam, Sikhism, Hinduism, Buddhism, Judaism, or Christianity. As such, when any of us goes to a public place of accommodation, we must be neutral and uphold the neutral laws in America that ensure equity for all, not just some. It is important that we remain outspoken on this point, as we know that there are those who seek to divide through hatred and bigotry, and who will hold up this case as a reason and opportunity to discriminate against us. Unfortunately, that kind of hate and divisiveness is nothing new to communities of color, immigrants, religious minorities, LGBTQ people, and Native Americans who have faced numerous indignities throughout American history. Those indignities are especially true in the Asian American community. No matter whether we are born here in the United States or our families who have settled in the States, Asian Americans always battle the stereotype of being the perpetual foreigner. Despite the long history of contributions to the U.S., Asian Americans continue to be seen as a perpetual foreigner. The inevitable assumption is that we are from a foreign country, even if we have never known any other country other than this one. It should also be noted that the categorical removal of 120,000 American citizens of Japanese descent, deprived of their property and incarcerated during World War II, is part of our unfortunate history. These people were treated like traitors simply because of their heritage. It is because of these injustices and indignities that our communities of color and LGBTQ individuals know how much is at stake if we let the wrong narrative take hold or people feel emboldened to discriminate against anyone without our civil rights community. We must remain steadfast together in fighting discrimination at every turn and work to ensure equity in America for us all. Thank you very much for your interest in this case.
Thank you, John. Now we will hear from Tom Sines, President and General Counsel of MALDEF, the Mexican-American Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Thomas Sines. I'm President and General Counsel of MALDEF. We are a national civil rights organization whose mission is to promote the rights of all Latinos living in the United States. In pursuing that mission, we are careful to be attentive to the rights of all other groups. We are disturbed, like our colleagues, with the implicit dangers in the Masterpiece Cake Shop case. We are pleased that the court decided this week on Monday to effectively punt and not to address the issue that was presented to it about a clash between two asserted constitutional rights. Nonetheless, the fact that the case was taken for review demonstrates that we need to be quite vigilant in the future about other cases like this coming before the Supreme Court and being embraced by the conservative justices in an effort to claw back the protections, anti-discrimination protections, that have developed in federal law and state law since the civil rights era. The fact is that this kind of clash between asserted rights has been with us for a long time. As my colleagues have explained, it came before the court over a half century ago in the Piggy Park Enterprises case. It was resolved quite easily, as you have heard. The danger, more than 50 years later, is that we have judges and justices who seem to be interested in embracing this asserted clash between constitutional rights. There are a couple of things to note about that. First, many of these cases are simply manufactured cases where there is no real interest in vindicating a sincere religious belief, but more an interest in challenging anti-discrimination laws and seeking to undermine them more broadly. Second, the invitation is to create a hierarchy of constitutional rights, and inevitably that hierarchy would place anti-discrimination toward the bottom of the set of rights protected by the Constitution. We cannot allow that. Our Constitution began, when it was ratified, as an instrument to unite the country, which had faced challenges in unity under the Articles of Confederation. While it is true that for too many decades under that Constitution, anti-discrimination principles that are embedded in the document were not respected at any level of government. But certainly today in 2018, we can recognize that anti-discrimination is a national unifying principle of singular importance and therefore worthy of being respected in any analysis of its impact versus other asserted constitutional rights. But the campaign that resulted in Masterpiece Cake Shop, that has resulted in legislative proposals around the country, that have resulted in executive orders from this administration, and has resulted in teeing up more cases like Masterpiece to come before the Supreme Court, ought to tell us all that there are those who would seek to create a hierarchy where anti-discrimination is at the bottom. We need to work together against that dangerous and pernicious attempt. Third and finally, the problem with these cases is they inevitably attend to only one side of the spectrum. Imagine, if you will, an employer who asserted the right to violate IRCA, the Immigration Reform and Control Act, and to provide employment lawfully to undocumented immigrants, and defended his actions as a reflection of his religious belief in welcoming the stranger. If you imagine that potentiality, I think you can readily surmise what the outcome would be if such a defense was presented to any court, including the Supreme Court in this country. Part of the pernicious element of this current campaign is it is directed in one direction and one direction only, and that is toward undermining anti-discrimination principles, forwarding exclusion as a continuing element of our society, and really sending a message to communities that have faced throughout their history exclusion and discrimination, state sanctioned and state promoted in certain cases. That is the danger in this case and why, despite the punt of this week by the Supreme Court, we stand together with our allies in the leadership conference and in the civil rights bar in committing to ensure that neither legislation nor litigation will go forward to successfully accomplish the aim of subjugating anti-discrimination principles and failing to recognize them as central to our ability to thrive as a nation. Thank you.
Thank you, Thomas. Finally, we'll hear from Sam Spital, Litigation Director at the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Good afternoon, everyone. Sam Spital at the Legal Defense Fund, and we've heard a lot already from my colleagues about how Masterpiece Cake Shop reaffirmed the principle that was established in the Piggy Park case, which is that the First Amendment does not give business owners a right to discriminate against their customers. LDF litigated the Piggy Park case 50 years ago, and as my colleagues have been talking about, one of the things that we've seen is sort of an effort to suggest that the principles in Piggy Park should now be reconsidered or recontested. And we were heartened to see that eight justices in Masterpiece Cake Shop rejected that effort and very clearly reestablished that when business owners open their establishments to the public, they must comply with public accommodations laws. And what I wanted to expand upon a little bit is this notion of what is the public. We hear the term public accommodations a lot, but I don't think that we spend enough time thinking about what that means. When businesses open their doors to the public, they become a public space. And when people are discriminated against in the public space because of who they are denied their full citizenship. Discrimination in places of public accommodation was an essential aspect of the racial caste system that existed by law for much of our nation's history. If you think about some of the most important and iconic images of the civil rights movement, its efforts to remedy, to end that kind of discrimination in lunch counters, for example. And vigorous enforcement of laws that now require equal treatment in public spaces remains as important as ever, as reflected in the recent state of high-profile incidents involving shocking discrimination against African Americans simply seeking to shop, to eat, or even just to sit. One of the concerns that my colleagues have noted about Masterpiece Cake Shop is that we already see people misunderstanding the decision to suggest that somehow the Supreme Court has endorsed a right to discriminate. As Anita talked about, there was a legislator in South Dakota who went so far as to say that a business owner should be able to run a business the way he wants, and if he wants to turn away people of color, that's his choice. But that is not the law. And one of the reasons why it's not the law, again, is that it fails to understand this essential point that public accommodations are public. Businesses that choose to provide goods and services in our open economy are public spaces. Business owners may be entitled to their own beliefs, but no one is entitled to deny their fellow citizens equal dignity in the public sphere. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now open it up to questions. Rachel, please provide instructions. And for reporters, I would ask that you please note if your question is directed to a specific speaker.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we will pause a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And we will take our first question from John Riley with Metro Weekly. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
All right. Thanks for holding us, guys. I had a question regarding, you know, possible future cases. We've heard, obviously, about the Arlene Flowers case out of Washington State as a possible one that could come before the court. There was also a decision out of Arizona today that people are saying complies perfectly with what the court ruled in Masterpiece Cake Shop. So either, I think this is probably best to Rhea. Rhea, how do you see, how do you see the Arizona case playing out, and could that be one of the cases where the court revisits and expands upon what it talked about in Masterpiece?
Thanks so much for the question, John. And for those who are perhaps less familiar with the landscape than John clearly is, there are a number of cases around the country, many of them involving business owners who are represented by the same counsel that represented Masterpiece Cake Shop, in which businesses are seeking a First Amendment license to discriminate. The Brush and Nib case out of the Arizona Court of Appeals today is an example of a pre-enforcement challenge. These are businesses who have not been approached by any same-sex couples and have not been subject to any enforcement activity by their state, but instead are affirmatively seeking a declaration that they're entitled to discriminate against same-sex couples and, in fact, to advertise their discrimination by posting a notice either in their storefront or on their website. The Arizona Court of Appeals rightly rejected that position today. There is a similar case involving a website design company based in Colorado, which implicates the Colorado Anti-Discrimination Act, pending before the 10th Circuit. There's a similar case involving a videography company that's before the 8th Circuit now. So there are a number of cases around the country, some of which had been held pending a decision in Masterpiece Cake Shop and now have to go forward. And I think the Brush and Nib case really illustrates that the principles set forth in Masterpiece really squarely reject the notion that any business has a right to hang a sign in its window saying, "We don't serve your kind here." The other thing worth noting, of course, many people are familiar with the Arlene Flowers case. This is essentially the same issues presented in Masterpiece Cake Shop. Our clients, Rob Ingersoll and Kurt Fried, were turned away at a flower shop in Washington State because they're a same-sex couple. That petition is fully briefed and was held pending Masterpiece. The court scheduled it for conference today, so we may know very soon whether or not they have an appetite to answer some of the questions that went unaddressed in Masterpiece Cake Shop. But again, the same organizations that are seeking a right to discriminate in the public accommodation context are seeking a right to discriminate in other contexts as well. We represent Amy Stevens, a woman who was fired from her job because she's transgender, and her employer is arguing that the Religious Freedom Restoration Act entitles it not to employ people because they are transgender. We won before the Sixth Circuit, and the employer has indicated that it is going to file a petition for cert this summer as well. So there are a number of vehicles that the court could possibly take up to address the issues. But I do think Masterpiece Cake Shop provides useful guidance, and the Arizona decision is a good example of that.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone. And we will take our next question from Timothy Queek with Philadelphia LGBT News. Please go ahead.
Hey,
your line is open.
Yes, thank you, and thank all the speakers. This question, well, it's a two-part question. It's for everybody. The court didn't remand the case back to the Colorado Commission for further consideration. So I'm wondering whether does Mr. Phillips, since the court said Jack Phillips' constitutional rights were violated, does he have a cause for action, including if someone approaches him again for a wedding cake for a same-sex marriage? My second question is anyone on this panel concerned that the court gave a kind of a blueprint to discriminate to discriminators on how to challenge future implementation of civil rights laws? For example, by giving credence to Mr. Jack's manufactured cases in Colorado? And those two questions are open for anyone.
I think, Rhea, if you could answer that, the first part.
Sure. I jotted down blueprint for your second question. I think your first question was about whether Masterpiece Cake Shop is still subject to enforcement actions in the future. I think the answer to that question is yes. The court says in several places that, for example, the freedom of speech would not justify the refusal to sell any cake to a customer simply because of his sexual orientation. The court characterized the record as being somewhat conflicting on that point, but I think when you look at the facts, you can see that the bakery refused Dave and Charlie without any discussion of the cake they might have sought, and in fact had previously refused to serve a lesbian couple asking for cupcakes for their commitment ceremony. That certainly doesn't implicate artistry or custom creative work, and there's no question that Masterpiece Cake Shop, like any business in Colorado, cannot refuse to sell these kinds of products to someone because of their sexual orientation. When it comes to freedom of religion,
does he have a cause of action because the court ruled that his constitutional rights were violated?
I don't think so. Again, this case arose based on a complaint that was brought by Dave and Charlie based on the discrimination experience, and the Colorado Civil Rights Commission found sufficient cause to proceed with its investigation. The notion that business owners have some sort of right to a declaration that application of anti-discrimination laws to them would affect their rights is raised in the sort of pre-enforcement type challenges I mentioned, and so far every court that has addressed them has denied them. On the blueprint question, and others may have thoughts on this as well, I just wanted to say that your question is very timely because, of course, we saw supplemental briefing in the Arlene Flowers case just yesterday and today, where absolutely the flower shop is trying to use the decision of Masterpiece Cake Shop as a wedge to expand the notion of what it means to be hostile to a person's religion to facts that bear no resemblance to what happened to Masterpiece Cake Shop. In the Arlene Flowers case, there was no administrative proceeding. The only quote-unquote evidence of hostility is the fact that the Attorney General opted to enforce the state's consumer protection law against the flower shop at all. So I think your question is very prescient, and I'm certain that we will see others and opponents of equality try to use the decision as a sword in that way.
Well,
and I think this is Anita. Go ahead.
Could I just – I did ask about Mr. Jack's manufactured cases in Colorado, and rather than kind of dismiss them as out of hand, seven of these – anyway, the majority of the court seemed to think, yeah, Mr. Jack made some good points, and the Colorado Commission should have abided by that. Now, of course, Justice Ginsburg dissented, but doesn't that give you some concern that they would give credence to Mr. Jack's trolling around and looking for trouble?
Well, I don't think it's right that seven justices went along with that. You'll recall in Justice Kagan's separate concurring opinion,
she also explained
why the William Jack matters were very different.
Right.
I do think even the majority opinion recognized some peculiarities about the William Jack incidents, separate from the fact that his requests were denied. And you know, just for the record, as so we're all clear, So the refusal to make a cake bearing a certain inscription simply doesn't implicate a person's identity, and it doesn't violate the Anti-Discrimination
right.
Act. The Anti-Discrimination
right.
Act is not the All Cakes Act. There's no rule that you have to make any cake for someone who walks in the door. It protects people, not products. And so
exactly.
those incidents simply don't implicate the act at all, let alone reach the constitutional questions. But setting that aside, I think the majority expressed concerns about the commission's, or what it felt was the commission's conclusion that the messages that William Jack had requested were offensive. You know, we could all read those determinations for ourselves, but I do think that concern, again, is peculiar to the commission's handling of these particular incidents.
Okay, thank you.
Would any of the other speakers like to weigh in on any of the previous questions?
This is Vania. I would just say that obviously the Masterpiece Cake Shop decision, and now, you know, Rhea was talking about Arlene Flowers, this is part of a longstanding agenda by certain groups to undermine LGBTQ rights and posit religious freedom as somehow a vehicle to discriminate against LGBTQ people, and it has broad civil rights implications, which is why you have leaders from different organizations on this call. So there's, you know, you saw in the aftermath of the decision different organizations with this agenda kind of claiming victory in the aftermath of the opinion, but there's no question that the litigation is not going to end, and there are likely more complaints getting teed up to take up Justice Kennedy on, you know, revisiting this issue and bringing the constitutional question back before the court. And so that's just, I don't know that that's as much a blueprint for teaching people how to discriminate. Obviously, the South Dakota lawmaker had a particular read of this decision and quickly got tamped down. But we worry that this emboldens private actors to misread the decision or misunderstand it. And to harm and discriminate LGBTQ people in communities around the country. So it's also important as civil rights organizations that we are vigilant about these concerns and tracking them and making sure that everyone understands that what the current state of the law is, which is that you cannot violate anti-discrimination laws in the name of religious freedom, and that the Piggy Park precedent remains the law of the land.
Thank you.
Thank you. And as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch tone phone. And we'll take our next question from Trudy Ring with The Advocate magazine. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. I wanted to ask, I know for many of you folks, your emphasis is on court cases rather than legislation. But what does this case say about the need to pass LGBT-inclusive anti-discrimination laws at the national level and in states that don't have them?
Sure. This is Vanita Gupta from the Leadership Conference. The truth is that there needs to be specific protections enacted into law to protect people on the basis of sexual orientation and gender identity because there aren't sufficient protections that exist. And there have been some moves in Congress to have bills that would ensure statutorily that those protections exist. And so there are bills pending and a lot of robust discussion about the need for these additional protections.
Thank you, and I know it's, you know, hard with our current Congress and President, but thanks for your answer.
Thank you, and as a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star and one on your touch-tone phone, and we'll take our next question from John Riley with Metro Weekly. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, just to follow up on that, obviously, we're going to be inundated with a flood, or we're expecting to be inundated with a flood of legislation at the state level that attempts to carve out some certain exemptions for people with religious beliefs, bakers. You know, some of it will be wedding industry specific, some of it will be broader. I wonder, you know, if legislatures go forward and pass acts like that as we're expecting them to next session in 2019, could any of those be
challenged, or do you expect to take up a similar challenge in the courts? That can be either for Vinita or Rhea.
Rhea, do you want to?
Sure, I'll start, and Vinita, obviously feel free to add anything I may have left out. So, of course, you know, there is one state that has already passed a law privileging and enshrining anti-LGBT views into state law, and that's Mississippi's HB 1523, which we and other organizations challenged. Those challenges were dismissed for standing issues. The law had not yet taken effect. It has now, and so I think as the very real harms of discrimination follow from it, I'm certain those challenges will come back to life. With respect to bills that we may see in state legislatures, you know, it's important to note that we have seen bills of that kind intending to create legislative exemptions for businesses that serve the general public to not have to serve same-sex couples for several years now. None have yet passed. I'm sure, as you pointed out, we will continue to see more. But Masterpiece Cake Shop, I don't think emboldens those requests, and in fact suggests that our nation has already struck the proper balance between religious freedom and equality. The majority talks about the fact that a minister, for example, can't be required to perform a religious ceremony for a couple that she chooses not to marry, whether that be because of the couple's sexual orientation, faith, even race. That's already enshrined in the First Amendment. There's no need for the legislature to make that explicit in some sort of statute. And so we've already struck that balance. I don't think the decision calls for more exemptions, but we certainly have seen requests in the past. We will see the drumbeat continue, and certainly any law that calls out LGBT people for differential and adverse treatment would raise serious constitutional concerns.
Thank you, Rhea. Did anybody else want to add to that? Okay, thank you everybody for joining us on this call. If you have any additional questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to us at press@civilrights.org. Thank you again to all of our speakers, and have a wonderful day.